Matt Berryman has quit his position at the Chair of Mental Health Australia, the peak body, citing his frustration with the Albanese government's inaction on mental health. Good morning, Matt. Thanks for doing this.
Good morning. No problem at all.
What made you quit? What made you resign?
I think it's really important that in the role that I had as Chair of Mental Health Australia to be bipartisan in my approach to government inaction or action in the mental health space. And I got to a point where my values and my views on what wasn't happening under the current government became too hard to be bipartisan.
Can you give me an example?
Mostly was just the lack of actual importance on the national agenda that mental health should have. And we worked very tirelessly behind the scenes in advocating for more than 5 million people in this country that's challenged with mental ill health and obviously their carers and consumers as well. And unfortunately, we weren't getting much traction from an all-government approach. So I decided hopefully being outside of the formal role of being Chair of Mental Health Australia, which, as you would know, is an independent peak body, maybe I could affect more change outside the tent than inside it.
I've recently spoken to a couple of veterans who are or have been on the front line of mental health, and their view is that mental health is ignored. It's ignored by governments. Points have been put to me that there's no votes in it. But, you know, it's very important, and what's done is so consequential. Why do you think it's ignored to the extent that it is?
Yeah, and I do agree with their points. And I think, you know, I did speak on Anzac Day on several media publications, and I've got a brother and a brother-in-law that served our country, both the Air Force and the Army, and they've had similar thoughts. Is, you know, as we know, unfortunately, political decisions are sometimes made out of voting and what is their best interest, not what are the people in the country's best interests. And I even saw over the last 24, 48 hours, you know, the Greens have supported the Liberal Party in their view that this isn't enough. And, you know, we've seen today's rally, which absolutely should be happening around violence against women, should never be accepted. But, you know, there's going to be a national cabinet discussion about that on Wednesday, yet there hasn't been a national cabinet discussion about mental health. And sometimes, yeah, you do have to wonder whether it's actually picking issues that create voting opportunities for the current government.
I personally remember the Richmond scheme when it happened and the arguments for it. Then 10 years later, we had the Burdekin scheme. But in researching that, I discovered progressively since 1965, there's been a policy of closing down institutions and releasing people who were in them into the public sphere, supposedly to receive specialised care, but it hasn't been there for them. Is this a large part of the problem? That I remember, as I say, the Richmond scheme, and prominent people are saying these poor people are entitled to live their lives. Well, as it turned out, these poor people in so many cases were entitled to be exploited by slum landlords, live on the street, not know what to do with themselves, not receive any particular care. Has the progressive closing down of the institutions added to the volume of mental health problems that are not being treated?
Well, I think, you know, there's definitely a for and against around human rights for people with mental ill health, but also the main thing is twofold in my view, is that people who have complex care needs of mental illness need to be safe, and they need to be safe for themselves and for the community. And we're seeing an alarming amount of people being discharged from public hospitals, some of which I've, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, spoke to, who are literally in my area of Port Melbourne, that have been released from the Alfred Hospital because they needed the bed. And this person and persons had really complex mental health needs and still had their wristbands on from hospital and couldn't get the care they needed when they were outside of that system. And I think, you know, unfortunately, we've seen the challenges that comes with that. If they're not safe and medicated, then it does harm, you know, cause harm potentially to themselves more than anything, and then sometimes to the public. So, yeah, it is a really challenging and complex system that needs to be looked at, and unfortunately the time and resources and funding isn't going into those solutions.
I have read that with mental health sufferers, when they do something violent, it's out of in their mind, a defensiveness, which I guess goes to what you say about them wanting to be safe. But of course, whatever's going on in their mind, it's no comfort to the person that they may have decided to attack, is it?
No, but I think, you know, again, the statistics, and Pat McGorry spoke well to it last week, is that most people with mental ill health are actually a less danger to the community than the normal population. And more importantly, they're actually a more danger to themselves, and self-harm and suicide, as we, you know, don't speak out enough. And I spoke about this, about my own suicide attempt 2 years ago, is, you know, there's 65,000 people a year that try and take their lives. And this year, it's probably trending towards 4,000 that have succeeded in that. And that's one in four Australians, you know, that's one in 400 Australians a year that have tried to take their own life. And that is an enormous number. And I look at when the road toll was at its peak, it was close to 3,000 odd people dying on road toll. It's now down to 600 to 700.
Yeah.
A lot of the really significant, you know, and the shock campaign that happened with what the TSC just decided to do. So I think things have to change. And if not now, when? And that was where the frustration got born, is governments have just kicked it down the road. The coalition, to their credit, when they were in power, tried their best. Yes, it's not perfect. And yes, people are going to make mistakes. And yes, we're not going to get it right from the first. But we can't aim for perfection. We've got to have an iterative approach and an all-of-government approach and say, look, we know and be honest with the Australian people. We know what we might try, whatever they put out in the budget, whatever we try, maybe some of that money is not going to be most well spent. I think the NDIS is a great example of that, right? $42 billion is going into the NDIS for 680,000 people that deserve care. And yes, some people are exploiting the system. Now, that's not ideal, but a lot of people are getting better care than they ever were when that NDIS system got set up. I think it was about 10 years ago under the Gillard government. So we've got to do something similar with mental health. It's never going to be perfect. But if we always hold back waiting for perfection, then we're just going to have a growing problem like we've seen. 30%+ growth in suicide, huge increase. I think Victoria reported recently 87.5% increase in mental health issues in the youth. So year on year. So you look at that and go, well, when are we going to make a stand about this issue? And that's been probably one of the key reasons I've stood back, is I can actually now talk about that. And it's been super interesting. I didn't think it would be that much of a media discussion for me to stand down. And I've been wall to wall since Wednesday night last week. And this media cycle's now going to run into Monday, Tuesday. And, you know, it shows that the people care. And I've got thousands, thousands and thousands of messages through social channels, direct, through emails, through my website, saying what we're doing in terms of advocating me and others that have come out supporting is the right thing, because we need it. As a community, we need it. So I do think it will be a voting issue this time out of the election. And I think government needs to stand up and listen.
Okay. Let's just suppose that tomorrow you're in a position where you can do what you think is needed because you have all the resources you want. What would be the first thing you did?
Very good question. There's a long list, but I think, you know, the first thing is that we've got a shortage of ability to care for the people who need it. So you think about psychiatrists and psychologists, they're booked out. You know, this collaborative care model is super important, so that kind of reduces. We know we can't turn on another 3,500 psychiatrists in the country overnight, but we do need to open up more spots or incentivize people to go into psychiatry and psychology. I think that's super important. I think also, you know, cutting the 20 sessions via Medicare to 10, I understand Minister Butler's view that it was actually clogging the system in some respects, that people were getting care they didn't need. But I think it's very similar to what would happen for a physical condition, is you get the care that you need. Now, some people might only need 3 or 4 sessions because it's low intensity anxiety or, you know, early onset of depression. But some people with complex health needs might need 35 sessions. So
right.
Like something like cancer, the oncologist doesn't say, oh, well, I can only pay for 10 sessions and therefore you need 20, but bad luck. So I think it's actually about having a fit-for-purpose model around the care model. And then also, you know, supporting consumers and carers and having people that are supported financially, like the NDIS does, to care for people that do have these conditions in a way that doesn't burden the system for the specialists. So I think there's a whole range, and there's only a couple that come off the top of my mind, but it is a complex system. I hear the government's response, which is very benign, but it says it's not going to happen overnight. But I think they've got to start trying a bit harder, would be my view.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for your time and insights.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Matt Berryman, who recently quit his position as Chair of Mental Health Australia.